Because I am sensing that God has already transitioned this church. And now our motivation should be to walk in all that God has called us to walk in and see God for who he is. The problem with the church many times is we have no problem worshiping and praising God, but we really don't have a revelation of God. Because when you really got a revelation of God, the things that come into your life, they won't move you. They won't bother you. They won't disturb your peace because you know who you are serving and in whom you believe. And because we know that God is with us, what can stop us? Whose report are you going to believe now? How long are we going to stay in this thing and not believe the report of the Lord? We've been worshiping too long to not believe that God is a healer. We've been serving God too long to not believe that he's not a deliverer. Amen. Come on, look at your Bible. Track the stories. Look at the lives of people. If God is no respecter of person, that means if he delivered your sister, he's going to deliver you too. And if he healed one, he'll heal another. Amen. There's no limitations with God. So can I talk to you for a moment from Jehovah, the thought, Jehovah, the God of the impossible. Because that's where God wants us to walk, in a place that we understand there is nothing too hard for this God that we serve. That when we are confronted with situations and crises, we know that the God that we serve can make a way. Let me go deeper. We'll make a way. It's one thing to know he can, but it's another thing to know he will make a way. In Luke chapter 1, man, I am all over the place. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, it says this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name what? Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Pay particular attention there. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called, past tense, barren. For with God, nothing, somebody say nothing, shall be impossible. And Mary said, oh, this is powerful as we conclude. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Be it unto me according to thy word. This is a great text to glean some points about the God of the impossible. As I previously mentioned, it is so important that we take the limits off of God and understand that there's absolutely nothing that God cannot do. That there's no limitations on God. When you take the limitations off of God based on how you see God, you open up a reservoir of possibilities that can happen in your life and in the lives of other people. Because you do have to understand that God uses us as agents for change. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, somebody's deliverance sometimes is hinging on whether you're going to move. on whether or based on your trust and your faith in God. And if you don't take the limits off of what God can do, somebody's going to miss it. Somebody's going to have to wait for somebody else to show up to get what they need. This is a great story to understand. God has the ability to do whatever he declares. Now, if you got a word from God and you haven't seen it, it is not that God doesn't have the ability to bring it to pass. It just means it's not your due season yet. But when your time comes, you need to know God will bring it to pass. So when you look at the text, let's go into the text. From verses 26 through 33, it was the angel Gabriel that declared to Mary. He says to Mary, you're going to conceive in your womb and birth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He greets Mary with a salutation, tells her she's blessed and highly favored, and then declares to her what God is going to do in her life. Now, if you embrace this text, you gotta see something here. You've got to see that this is a heavy declaration that the angel Gabriel is giving to Mary. I mean, think about it now. The text opens up through verses 26 through 33, and it lets us know that Mary was espoused to Joseph, but she was a virgin. Isn't that what the text says? The text says, so it tells her what condition she's in. She's a virgin. She's never been touched. Then the angel declares that you are going to conceive. And you're going to bring forth a son. Not only are you going to conceive, I'm going to tell you what you're going to bring forth. It's going to be a son. And then I'm going to tell you his name. His name is going to be Jesus. Because he's going to redeem humanity from the bondage of sin. And he's going to do these great things. That's a heavy word of promise that's given to her. Because now it has to supersede her natural mind. And I'm going to go there a little bit deeper too. But it has to supersede her natural mind. So he throws that promise on her. What would you do with something that your mind cannot ascertain? That's what happens sometimes. God will give us something and we look around and look at all the possibilities of why it may not happen based on how you're thinking. And my first point I want to give you is this. No promise is impossible for God to fulfill. Can I say that again? No promise is impossible for God to fulfill. If God has given you the promise, he can back it up. He has the ability to set before you open doors that no man can shut. He has the ability to shut doors that no man can open. If God gives you the promise, no promise is impossible for God to fulfill. He has the ability to do it. Because he's God. That's why you got to get a perspective in the right perspective and see God out of the right lens. Because when you understand that, then when God says something, you're like, that's it. That's money in the bank. And you run with it and you rejoice with it because you know God has given you a rhema word. And you know when God gives you a rhema word, it has to come to pass. What does Numbers 23 and 19 says? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and shall he not do it? Has he spoken it and shall he not make it good? Isn't that what the word said? Right. Psalms 89 and 34. My covenant I will not break. Neither will I alter the thing that is what? Gone out of my mouth. God says, I don't change it when it leaves my mouth. I have the ability. So don't let the promise make you think I can't fulfill it based on what I said. I know it's heavy and deep, but I'm big enough to back it up. Now, I know y'all are deep and you're probably saying, oh, I can handle that. God would have told me that, no problem. That's not true. That's not true. You'll be thinking about it too. Yeah, I hear you, God. But you don't know my background. You know my family. But no promise is impossible for God. I am coming to understand that. No promise. No promise. But here's what Mary does, and this is the human part of all of us. So she receives the promise, she hears it, and then she immediately, she asks the question. She says, how can these things be? Seeing as I know no man. He's like, okay, how's this going to happen? I hear you, but you didn't put Joseph in the equation at all. Oh, come on, you analytical people. Because for you, 2 + 2 = 4. For you. But not with God. See, it just, he defies mathematical logic. He defies our rationale. He defies all of our analytical thinking. He really does. He blows you away. Because I mean, I know y'all wouldn't have asked that question, but if I was a woman, I would have asked that question. How is this going to happen, Lord? Now, I'm with you. I'm with you, Lord, up until this point. You didn't give me the obvious. Where's Joseph? You didn't mention his name at all. So she says, how's this thing going to be? And my second point to you is, don't let your intellect interfere with God's ability to do the impossible in your life. Amen. Can I say that one more time? Yeah. Don't let your intellect interfere with God's ability to do the impossible in your life. How many times, you have no idea how hard it is for God to do a miracle in some of your life because you intellectualize it right on out. Well, God, how's this gonna happen? You know, because you don't know my family background. You don't know where I come from. You don't understand, God. You said you're gonna give me a promotion out of cycle. You don't understand. Nobody has ever got a promotion out of cycle in the last 10 years. And you're thinking yourself out of it. How can these things be, God? And you're telling me I'm going to be the manager of this department? They just hired a new manager. And you're saying, I'm going to get it? And not only did they hire a new manager, I don't even have the skill set to do it. In other words, I'm the least qualified in the entire department. And you're telling me, I don't have the degree. I don't have the certificate. But you said you're going to put me. How shall these things be? And I want you, God, you want me to go over here? But where's the money coming from? And, you know, I have no car. I have no. Don't get quiet on me because I know that's not you. I know that's not you. And God said, move. And you say, not only where am I going, but how am I going to get there? And when I get there, how am I going to eat? Okay, you got the food, but where am I going to live? Okay, and then how am I going to pay for it? God gives you one word, a rhema, and you give him 7 questions back. Oh, God, can I help somebody? Tell your neighbor, don't let your intellect interfere with God's ability to do the impossible in your life. Because remember now, Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways in your way and my thoughts. In other words, you don't even think like me. Tell your neighbor, get out of God's business. Yeah, some of you just need to shut your mouth and get out of God. You can't figure out everything. If you could, you wouldn't need faith. The just shall live by. We walk by. And not by your intellect. And for some of you, it is your intellect that's messing you up. You won't even give because you think yourself out of it. Well, you know, God, now if I give this, and you know, I only have my rent money. Now, you telling me I got to give that this part here for that? But well, how's that going to happen? Oh, yeah, come on, we got a lot of marriages in here, men and women. How shall these things be? And what is God saying? He's saying, if you want to see the impossible, you've got to get your intellect out of the equation. The natural man understands not the things of the spirit. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the Bible says in, what's that, St. John chapter 4, I think it's around verse 24, God is a what? He's a spirit. He's a spirit. So we have to interpret God by the spirit. His language is spiritual. It is not intellectual. It is not carnal language that God speaks. He speaks spiritual language. So it's like you trying to understand Spanish and you don't speak but English. Kama se llama? What did you just say? You feel me? You feel me? So if you're going to understand God, you got to understand God by his language. God doesn't speak your language. He speaks his language. And he's given you an interpreter called the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, thank you. Called the Holy Ghost, who can translate for you what he is saying. So the things that you would not normally understand, now you have a translator called the Holy Ghost that will give you the interpretation of what God is saying. And your spirit is never shocked by what God gives you. It's your intellect because it interferes because it doesn't understand. It's like a computer up here saying, does not compute, does not compute, does not make sense, does not compute. And your spirit is saying, yes, I agree. Amen. It is so. And you got a battle going on with your intellect and your spirit. Now, somebody need to say amen because I know you've been there. Been there, done there, got a trophy for it. And you are battling. And what's going on? My head is saying one thing. My spirit is saying another. Who am I going to obey? Let me tell you who you're going to obey. Whoever you feed is who you're going to obey. If you feed your spirit, it's going to override your mind. But if all you do is feed your intellect, it's going to override your spirit. God, am I talking to anybody? How shall I these things be? I know not a man. And here's the beauty of it. Even though we battle sometimes, I'm so glad that God doesn't leave us to ourselves. So here's now, God responds back to Mary, and he says, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, Mary, this is what's going to happen. He says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. He's going to overshadow you. In other words, the Holy Ghost is going to impregnate you, Mary. That's how it's going to happen. I know she's still blown away. The Holy Ghost is going what? I mean, nowhere have we read in the Bible that this has ever happened before. Mary's probably trying to get a point of reference. That's another problem. Sometimes we don't even have a point of reference of what God says he's going to do in our life. It would be a little bit easier if somebody could say, did that ever happen to you? Did your mama go through this? Do you know anybody? No. Nobody's been there. We have no, come on, somebody. Sometimes you don't have a point of reference of what God has done. And now God says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and overshadow you. This is how it's going to happen, Mary. Okay? Now, notice Gabriel has to have a lot of dialogue with Mary. Now, y'all can't hate on Mary because you'll be the same way. He couldn't leave her there because she's like, that probably messed up even more. He says, how is this thing going to be? Then he explained how it's going to happen. He said, excuse me? I can see some of y'all say, really? So it ain't going to be nobody. Oh, come on. See, you got to put yourself in the pages of the text. You have to see that these are human beings that we're talking about. These are not characters. These are human beings. Just like you would be. You would be like, you said what, Pastor? Really? Sometimes it's challenging to receive the word that God's giving you. because it defies logic. So he tells her, you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and he's going to impregnate you, and you're going to bring forth a son. He's going to do great things in the earth. Then, because he knew where Mary was, he says this. He says, and your cousin Elizabeth has already conceived a son. I'm going to my next point on this. He has already conceived a son. Isn't that what he said? And she's conceived in her old age. And just in case you didn't really hear me, I want to make it plainer. You know the one they call barren? Who was called barren? You remember, you know, old Elizabeth? You know, because sometimes, you know, in our life, we can get that name based on our condition. Who you talking about, Larry? No, not that Larry. Crazy Larry. Oh, Crazy Larry. Okay, if you're a liar, please forgive me. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just using it as an example. You know what I mean? You got to be careful now. But, so sometimes we get labeled by, you know, our condition. And so you got to imagine that Elizabeth is walking around. That's Elizabeth. You know, it's okay to be old, but she's old and barren. And probably won't bother you in your culture, but in that culture, that was frowned upon. It was like you were, man, what's wrong with you? You don't have any kids. You know, now we're trying to just hide the kids and get rid of the kids. We people wanted kids back then. You get them and say, Lord, I got another one. And I can't get no help in this sanctified church. Somebody need to say amen, because y'all know I'm telling the truth sometimes. That culture has slipped in. But anyway, so she's old and she's barren. And then the angel Gabriel says, she has conceived. Here's my next point I want to bring out, because I think this is important. Point number three is, remember, God has done the impossible before. He brings her back and reminds her and says to her, let me tell you something. I know this looks impossible for you, but I want you to know God has already done it already to your cousin. The one that was old and barren, God has done the impossible. And what can I say to you? Sometimes you got to remember that this is not God's first rodeo. No. If God is saying, I'm going to do the impossible, it's already been done before. You're saying, but God, is impossible. The doctor said it can't be healed. Well, God has already healed some that said they couldn't be healed. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, God, you know, they're going to put me out of my house, you know, but... And God has already given people houses that they did not build. Vineyards, nothing is new to God. It's not new. It's not new. This is not God's first rodeo. And can I tell you this? God specializes in the impossible. He specializes in the impossible. You know, there was an old song years ago, and some of y'all may not remember, but for us older people, we do. God specializes in things that are impossible. For God can do what no other power can do. He specializes. God is a specialist. You know, sometimes when we go to the doctor, we go to certain doctors and you know, for certain things, and we call them specialists. They're a doctor, but they specialize in a certain area. I want you to know God specializes in the impossible. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He specializes. You show me something that seems like it's impossible, and God can work it out. He can work it out. And so God, what does he do? He gives her a point of reference because he knows Mary is struggling to believe. And he says, let me help you out, Mary. Your cousin Elizabeth, the one that was old and barren, she's already conceived. In fact, she's 6 months pregnant right now. So if you don't believe it, go check her out. And if you read the text, after the angel left, Mary went right to Elizabeth. Oh, come on, believer. You know you would have did the same thing. You had to run, you get on that phone. Elizabeth, girl, are you pregnant? Oh, come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. Can somebody say amen? You would have got on that cell phone. Yeah, yeah. On a cell phone, Facebook message, you would have sent something. You pregnant. Yeah, Mary. Yeah, Zachariah here. Yeah. It was on. It was on. It's on. You see? You see what happened? So sometimes God will use those things to remind us that this is not his first rodeo. He's been around the block and back. He's got a t-shirt for it. So if God tells you something, God wants it to happen, and it will happen. Sometimes he will remind us of our previous experiences. And maybe we didn't have a previous experience, but then God will remind us through the scripture. He really was. You know, I was reminded even as I was preparing for this. And it just seems like that word impossible kept coming up for the last 2 weeks. And I couldn't get away from it. And, you know, been dealing with some things, you know, in the ministry and believing God for finance and all of those things here. And God just had to remind me of some things that he's already done. The fact that we are in this plaza is, come on, that's a miracle in itself. That's a miracle in itself, you know. Some 17 years in a plaza that you believe in God for, got a word, you know, 15 years ago, and you saw nothing, and then, boom, it happened. What was it, 3% interest rate? 3%. Somebody say 3% on a financing. All of his money. He footing the bill. We're not even supposed to be in here. Couldn't get a bank loan. Based on the limited money we had, we only had around $300,000. The bank would have won at least 20% and your first and second born. That was the requirements. I'm telling you, stringent, very tight requirements. And on top of that, every church coming in trying to get it from under us. And what does God do? Everybody that come in, God shut the door. Nope, nope. Nope. And I had to remember, God reminded me, if I did that for you, don't you know that I'm going to do this next thing for you? Don't forget, I'm still the God of the impossible. The only reason you're in here, New Life, is because of the God that we serve. It wasn't by power, it wasn't by might, and it certainly wasn't by our money. It was by the Spirit of the Lord. And your deliverance is going to come because God is your deliverer. He specializes in things that are impossible. When man said can't be done, God says, oh, yes, it can. I was sitting at the table with the owner a few years prior to us even purchasing. And I remember him looking back across me almost like to say, really? You ain't going to get this. And he was playing hardball, increasing the rent every year. Before we had finished and before we finally said enough is enough, we were almost paying $14,000 a month in rent. That's a miracle in itself, too. We could do that. Look around. We ain't got no mega church right now. God's been faithful to us. But after a while, we said, hold up. Time out. It's getting crazy now. And then that's when we found out we had Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was playing hardball. But let me tell you something. That's Pharaoh, but we got God on our side. And at the end of the day, isn't it something? How Pharaoh bowed to God and said, Moses, take him on out of here. Pharaoh finally bowed to God and he said, Pastor Hines, I'm selling it to you. You ain't got to worry about the bank. Just take it. I'll finance it all. Well, we don't have no 20% to give down. Where? Give me 3%. I'm just telling you, saints, sometimes you got to go back down memory lane and remember what God has already. That's God done a miracle for somebody already. That you know you are standing today because God put you there. God raised you up. God healed your baby. God healed your body. You wouldn't even be here. God sustained you. God preserved you. God turned it around. So he reminds her, Elizabeth, I've already done a miracle. It ain't my first time. Thank God, first time in your life. He is going to deliver you. Just take the limits off that God. See, the problem is you're looking at this because it's bigger. As though God needs more power because it's bigger. God ain't going to extend no more energy because it's bigger. It's bigger to you. It's the same thing to God. He can feed one person just as easy as he can feed 1,000 people. Oh, God. How many people do we have here, disciples? Master, there's quite a few here. At least 5,000 men. We ain't even going to count the women and the children. Then he says, I tell you what do you have? You know, he says, well, we've got 2 fish, 5 barley loaves. That might feed a couple of families. He said, that's enough. Bring it to me. What does he do? He prays over it. He blesses it and he breaks it and he multiplies. Look at what God did. It didn't take God. God didn't sit back and say, oh, great God that you are. Jesus wasn't doing all that. He just said, bring it here. Prayed over it. Blessed it. Broke it. And it multiplied. See, God ain't sweating to do the impossible in your life. God ain't staying up all night like Lord, how am I going to get her through this? How am I going to deliver him through that? No. Let me rest assured. God is not staying up late at night worrying about how he going to deliver you and how he going to do the impossible. God's going to just do it. He wants you to go to sleep. And you stop sweating. Because God said, I don't sleep or slumber anyway. I just hang around. And waiting for you to just trust me. I want you to go to sleep and know I ain't sweating to deliver you. It ain't going to take a whole lot to bring you out of this. I know you're deep, but I'm deeper still. God, I know they got their foot on you, but I'm the God that will pick their foot. So he reminds Mary of this. Now, here's my key text here. He says, he goes on a little bit deeper. I'm thankful for God using Gabriel because God knows where we are. And sometimes he just has to keep ministering to us until we finally get it and it clicks. Then he says to her, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. If you separate that word nothing, you get no thing. No thing. So I want to tell you, no thing is impossible for God to do. No thing. I don't care what that thing is. No thing is impossible for God to do in your life. No thing that's present in your life, no thing that's coming in the future in your life is impossible for God to do. Look at somebody and say, no thing. That means whatever it is no match for God. Show me sickness and God will heal. Show me somebody that need deliverance and God will deliver. Show me somebody that's down and God will pick them up. Show me somebody that's out and God will bring them in. Nothing is a match for God. No thing. I don't care what's coming in your future. Whatever the devil has plotted against you in your future, I want you to know no thing is impossible for God to do. And that's why he tells Mary, finally he says to Mary, he says, Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. I mean, that just speaks to my spirit. Nothing. No thing. Because there's a whole lot of things that will come up in your life. Whole lot of things that will come up against you in your life, against your children, against your family. Come on, somebody, against your job, your career. But God says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Imagine taking the limits off of God now and receiving that by your spirit. Nothing shall be impossible. Oh, God, you can walk in that. Nothing shall be. Well, I just got laid off. Nothing shall be impossible. You don't get down because you know if God allows one door to shut, he's got another door that he's going to open. Nothing. And you learn how to walk in that. You learn how to walk in that authority. You learn how to walk in that word of faith. Nothing is impossible for your God. And you go to the doctor and you wasn't respecting that report. And you look at the doctor and say, I thank you, but I'm receiving the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord say, I'm healed, I'm well. But you don't understand, according to the x-ray, it's right here. That's all right. But by his stripes, I'm healed. Oh, nothing shall. See, ah, oh God, when you get that revelation of God, you start speaking the word of God. And then, let me close out with this. And finally, Angel Gabriel, he's been talking a long time, having a lot of dialogue with her. And finally, somebody say finally. Mary gets it. So don't criticize Mary, because some of you, you know, you've been in this thing for 5 or 10 years. You finally getting it now. The lights have finally come on and you're finally getting that revelation. So here's Mary. Mary, after she's heard that, she's heard about how the Holy Ghost is going to cause her to conceive. She's heard about her cousin Elizabeth, how the Holy Ghost supernaturally caused her to be impregnated. Then she heard the word that for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, somebody say now. Now, now she says, be it unto me. Amen. According to thy word. Now she gets it. Final point. I want to tell you, you must believe. You must believe. See, you are never going to receive this until you believe it. You're never going to be able to take the limits off of God until you believe. She says, be it unto me according to your word. According to what I've heard, I receive it. And now that I received it, I can begin to walk in. You know that you've received it. You know why? Because your conversation will change. Your behavior is going to change because now you're going to start preparing. I can imagine seeing Mary saying, I'm going to conceive a son. And that's why, see, the reason why Joseph had a problem initially, because Joseph, like all of us as men, we intellectualize. You got to show me the money. Hey, baby, I hear you, but where the money coming from? He said, we supposed to go here. You're going to go shopping. Okay, but where's the money? And she said, but the Lord said he's going to provide. Okay. Come on, brothers. Because he was interpreted by his intellect. Mary had already, she got the revelation. He would get the revelation later, but she got it. She believed. She says, according to thy word, be it unto me according to thy word. And now she believed. She began to embrace. See, saints, if you're going to see the impossible, you have to first believe. You have to believe that God can do the impossible. You have to receive it before you receive it. Did you get that? You got to receive it before you receive it. You'll never receive it if you don't first receive it. And once you receive it, now you're going to receive it. Be it unto me according to thy word. I receive it. All things are possible to them that believe. So now she's ready. And that's where God wants this church. That's where God wants you. You got to take the limits off and see Jehovah, because he is the God of the impossible. He will do what no other power can do. There's a whole lot of powers out here, but nobody can do what he can do. You can call on Buddha. You can call on Muhammad. On your sick bed, you're going to end up dying. But when you call on Jesus, he does answer prayer. Isn't that what the word says? Yeah. Peter says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. Oh, he hears you and he sees what you're going through. And you got to know he has the ability to do the impossible. Come on, let's stand.